there.
We are friends.
And we're about to have a conversation.
Please don't take us too seriously.
All right then.
Life is crazy and the least we can do is talk about it. Conversations with Friends. Only on The Podcaster.
Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
Conversations with Friends.
We're back.
What is it with you and these riffs today? They are so good. You have no right being this good.
I think it's because it's Mariah Carey season.
Oh, Christmas time, Neeraj's favorite time of the year.
Yeah, do you think Mariah Carey ever gets burnt out?
That's a great segue into our conversation today. If you can't tell, Neeraj's also tired of working. So she's like, I'm just getting right into this.
Can you see my dark circles?
No, I can't. I would never say yes to that.
Yeah, no, we're very happy here.
That's a trap. That question, for anyone listening, don't ever ask someone that question. Can you see my dark circles?
Don't ever answer it.
Don't answer it. That's true. But yeah, why are we talking about Mariah Carey being burnt out? Well, because
a lot of things have been happening related to work in the news. And by a lot of things, I mean this one very heavy weight that the co-founder of Infosys, Narayana Murthy, came and laid on all of us, prescribing a 70-hour work week for the younger workforce. His reasoning was that, you know, there are more advanced economies and people work really hard to get there, which is why we should also buck up.
I kind of understand having a business that you care so much about and wanting to do everything to make it a success and therefore pouring your heart and soul into it. And then if you're going to work like 100 hours a week, that's on you. That's great. Like, are there even 100 hours in a week?
I don't think
there must be.
Not 100.
Of course there are. It's
hours
24.
Of being awake.
It's 24 into 7. I mean,
tell me what that is now.
Yeah. But no, I get doing that if you really care, but not everyone does.
Yeah.
And not everyone has a business of that magnitude, you know. So it's I think it's easy to say that you love your country and just work hard, guys. Just do it.
Yeah.
But we're not all sitting on a net worth of 4,000 crores. So.
To play devil's advocate, though, there were some people who backed him up saying he didn't exactly mean 70 hours poured into just your job.
Okay.
But working 70 hours a week on yourself, on your skills, on the job that you do. It was a combined total of 70 hours a week, but still.
Devil's advocate should have said what they meant then. If what he meant was do this, then he should have said do it.
Exactly.
And also, when will I watch trash on Netflix if I'm constantly working on myself?
That could qualify as working on yourself.
It's literally the opposite of working on yourself.
Why? You learn so much.
Of what not to do.
Yes.
But also to set the stage, Neeraj and I have been talking about the nature of work. I think as people who are still at the considerable start of their careers, we have been talking about work. You're just happy because you're at the start of your career.
This is the first time you've made me feel like I'm almost your age. Because usually it's like, oh wait, you're from a different generation. Am I?
Sis, you are though.
I don't think so.
You're a millennial.
Just turned 19.
But it's interesting because we've been talking about how Gen Zs and millennials view work these days, and also given that we've come out of the pandemic and seen how work has changed, not just for these two generations, but like the landscape of work has changed. It's been an interesting conversation to follow and one that is important to take into consideration. So as per usual, we decided to figure out this entire thing through our own experiences. So now, to make you feel like we're not from the same generation.
That's exactly what I don't want.
But it is your experience. It's your truth. Tell me a little bit about how your work life began and what your experience of... Okay, let's take a peg of the first 5 years of your work life. What were the first 5 years of your work life like?
So I did an MBA, right?
Yes.
And then I fully expected to go into like a 9-to-5 marketing job. I thought my qualifications as an MBA graduate would give me an advantage, but it didn't.
Mm.
And then I saw an ad for a radio station and I just decided to switch careers.
Right.
But then, in all fairness, communication is communication. So that should be part of the on-campus placements.
Mm-hmm.
But I went into radio and I think I went in with zero expectations.
Okay.
Because I was already of the view that I don't know this stream. I have decided to take up something that is quite alien to me just because I love music and I wanted to do something remotely close to it. And I felt like this was a job that matched music with marketing in some way.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah. So I didn't have any expectations. I certainly was, now when I look back, burnt out every single day. But it was a kind of burnout that I think I anticipated, so I didn't react to it. But I do want to hear about how you have experienced burnout in your initial, you know, career. Because I think I did know you when you also started off your career. And I felt like it's just one of those jobs that we were both in where there were no defined roles. So we sort of took on everything. And that naturally will lead to burnout. But how did you internalize that?
Yeah, there was a joke at some point which was like, you know, hey, you can do our accounts now. And I was like, do you want me to burn this into the ground? Because that's what will happen if you kept me in charge of math. You were there when I did my first ever proper internship. Also, full disclosure, Neeja and I have always been in media, in radio. Media is like notorious for being one of those industries that is just like go, 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 go. Especially today, given just the barrage of like content and the value given to the quantity of content one puts out. That being said, I started working 4 years ago. I love how I said the peg is 5 years and I haven't even finished my five, but I'm close enough.
Wow.
I'm close enough. So I started right before the pandemic. So I got like one full good year and I've always enjoyed work. It's not something that I shy away from. Like after I graduated college, I didn't do my master's. I went straight into work and I went into it a month after I graduated.
You saved a lot of time.
I saved a lot of time. Okay. But yeah, I just went into it a month after I graduated because I've always loved work. Like I enjoy giving my time to something that engages me and makes me feel like I'm doing something useful. But the first year was a fairly, I think, blank slate experience because it's a year in natural circumstances, right? And then the pandemic came. And then my second year of work was in the pandemic. And that is when I experienced days that I don't particularly ever want to experience again because it was just very full on. And it were very, very long hours of work and it just didn't feel... I also do want to say this though, like in media, there are different roles and responsibilities that people carry out. When you are someone who is adding to the creativity of, you know, your output is meant to be creative, I think burnout is probably the worst thing that you can experience because it literally renders you incapable of doing your job. So for creative people who actually need time to think, right, who need some sort of space or breathing room to put things out there that could be unique, because that is the need of everyone's hour, is, you know, I want something that will differentiate us. Well, I need some time to think about what that's going to be. But when you're burnt out, you just cannot do that.
That's why there's a lot of value, people say, in doing manual labor, physical labor, because that frees up your mind and literally gives you the ability to do creative work.
I know. I mean, that's why everyone wants to, you know, own a piece of land and grow things on it.
Yeah.
Because it does. It's a different way of life that allows you, I think, to be a lot more in touch. Also, just step out of your bubble a little bit when the bubble is the internet right now because it's constantly the same kind of content that you're seeing all around.
You said you really enjoy work, right?
I really do, yeah.
Yeah, and that brings me to this. I feel like the way we all experience burnout is different.
Yeah.
And I do have contentions about how burnout is handled these days because there's a lot of importance on me and, you know, my sense of
Hit me with
self.
Your thoughts, millennial mama.
Wait, we're both millennials, right?
No, I'm Gen Z.
Oh, fuck. Why do I keep messing that up? Anyway, but there's a lot of importance on mental health and all of that, which is super important, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But it is almost disproportionate to finding something meaningful to do with your life.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you have to have like a huge purpose where you're, you know, doing cause-driven work and you're helping everybody in the world, but just work that gives you some sense of purpose and where you feel like you're doing something useful with your life.
Hmm.
I think that is, for me, I wouldn't say that's more important than, you know, feeling okay at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But are we too entitled to that sense of me, myself, and I, that we're forgetting about how work can be hard, and that's okay.
Yeah, work can be hard, and also I think it's interesting. It feels a bit like a vicious cycle where, one, there isn't a lot of work to be done these days. Jobs that exist for young people are not that many and not that sustainable. Like, there could be a role, but we saw this during the pandemic, like, millions of people lost their jobs because they were doing things that were not, I mean, either companies did not have the money to continue paying them, or, you know, that's why upskilling, reskilling became such a result of the pandemic, because everyone was like, one person has to be able to do a couple of things. Every person can't be a specialist in like one thing. The whole do what you love and love what you do thing, it's a little overrated. It's not realistic for everyone to be able to do that, but something that you can tolerate, I guess. But when you don't have something like that in your life, that lack of purpose can really negatively affect your mental health.
But is the reason that you don't have something like that to do with your life also that your threshold for what that work should be is very, very low?
Could be. So in the research for today's podcast and today's conversation, I came across a survey by Deloitte. And this survey was done primarily to understand Gen Z and millennials' relationship to work these days, okay? And it surveyed more than 22,000 Gen Zs and millennials across 44 countries, right? So it's interesting because actually in 2023, there has been a rise among Gen Zs when it comes to their satisfaction with work-life balance. So people are not actually that dissatisfied with the way things are. Like, they're happy that companies have changed the way they work, and, you know, there are certain boundaries that are just necessities now that are just taken for granted. Millennials, on the other hand, only 31% of millennials in 2023 felt satisfied with work-life balance.
That's really interesting, considering how a lot of Gen Z and younger millennials entered into the workforce during the peak of the pandemic.
Exactly.
I mean, this was obviously a time of huge uncertainty economically and, you know, socially speaking. Yeah. And the pressure to do something with your life and become successful was so high. And also was a time when you couldn't actively do that, because how were you going to, you know, seek out these jobs? So that's actually surprising to hear that that workforce is happier than the older millennials. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the older millennials, the millennials.
But there is also, there are the younger millennials.
There are the younger millennials, that's true. The other really interesting thing that, you know, this survey covered was the top concern, okay, in the world. Look at society today and look at all of the things we're going through. This is coming out of a pandemic, work landscape shifting, the world going to shit, essentially. Think about everything we're going through and then try to answer what you think both Gen Z and millennials from the survey came out with their top most concern.
I want to say money, but I feel like that's not it.
Okay.
Is it owning property?
No, that's so niche. That's also, all of us on a societal level, like humankind is extremely ambitious if our only concern is, I just want some land.
No, but actually, considering everything we've spoken about, I think the answer is being happy.
Yeah. You know what? No.
What?
Money is correct.
Really?
Because everybody's topmost concern, at least in 2023, according to this survey, is cost of living. Because it is so high in so many places. We have been through a lot, you know, economically. And we work, a lot of us, for money. Right? And when you work and you work and you work, you hope to be able to live some kind of life of decency, which is what rubbed me the wrong way about the statement, right? The 70-hour statement, which was just, you know, we need young people to say that they love the country and give 70 hours of their weeks to work. My question is, for what?
You're not making it easy to live here. You need to have that distinction compartmentalized within yourself on, okay, you're doing a job for money and that's basically it. Because if you are trying to look for purpose-driven work and make money at the same time, you're going to lose your mind.
It is hard. It is hard. And remember, I was talking to you about this, how it's interesting that there's been a major shift, right? How people are looking for work these days based on whether it aligns with their own
moral compass
or their own values or their own ambitions, right? Which makes sense. But purpose-driven work has become such a big deal these days. So what you're saying is interesting, because also earlier, I think there was a template, which is, you know, you graduate, you go find a job, you work for money. I don't think a lot of that has changed. A lot of us still work for money. But a lot of us are also now looking to make money doing what you love, love what you do. And I just don't think that's very practical.
I do think it's possible to find that balance.
I agree with you there, yeah.
Yeah, because when you start off in a new job, chances are you might hate it the first few months, but you can find little things you love about it and make it work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Make the job work for you and don't work for the job.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Business influencer coming right up.
Because I think that's the only way to survive. And that's right. The only way to keep up with the lack of work available for people these days, right? You cannot be a no person right off the bat. And that's why something I saw on TikTok recently really irked me. Because this...
You should not be on TikTok.
I wasn't. I'm not on TikTok.
Because TikTok is dominated by Gen Z.
Yeah, you know it'll make me mad.
Gen Z.
No, you don't make me mad.
I don't know if I come in like the beginning bracket of it.
Yeah, please,
but
Gen Z makes
ones...
you mad.
I'm like one of the oldest Gen Zs.
No, but this girl was ranting about how she has a business degree,
mm-hmm.
but she's not getting work based on her years of experience, in quotes,
okay,
as a student of this degree.
So the point of contention there is, yeah, I'm giving you some time to breathe because you look like you're
Live it. Mad. Live
yeah.
it.
So the point of contention there is you need to start somewhere and... Then, with your degree, maybe after the first or second year, you'll be able to shoot up higher than people without the degree, and that's when the reward will come. But you do have to wait and, like, you know, put in the hours, do the little grind for a bit, at the beginning at least.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. Haven't you felt a lot better getting a reward for something you feel like you've earned?
Okay.
Isn't it a lot more satisfying to feel like, you know, I'm getting this because I did this? And that means that I actually do have something to offer.
And your point is that putting in the work in MBA grad school is not earning it.
That's interesting because I know a lot of people struggle with student loans. You know, they deal with having to pay these exorbitant amounts of money for a decent course.
Hmm.
So that's where, you know... I mean, I think we could go into a whole other conversation about the education system there.
Because next my, podcast.
Yeah, we'll get into it. I'll get into my MBA that did nothing for me.
Neeru is mad. There is a very clear difference between you being in control and someone or your work controlling you. When I made like the choice to maybe not gain that much monetarily, but gain in terms of experience and skill, right? I made that choice with awareness because I said, okay, this is going to set me up and I'll be able to use my skills to get a job that pays me better later on. So I was okay to set that aside for this reason, right? I understand that I could afford to do that. Some people may not be able to afford to do that. But I think it's a bargain that you have to make and you have to do it with awareness. Like, what is your priority? At that point, my priority was to get as good as I possibly can be as quickly as I can become good. So I even had the privilege to leave my job in the middle of the pandemic, which is not something people were even contemplating, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can take this out, but that just goes to show you how little a difference the money that was coming in was making to my life.
But, why take it out?
Yeah. So I just think it's a bargain that you have to make, and I completely get where you're coming from, which is that you do have to let it gestate for a little bit.
Yeah, because let's be honest, having to do something is not going to make you happy all the time.
Yeah.
It is going to make you frustrated, upset, burnt out. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the reality is you have to make money to survive in this world.
Yeah.
How you want to approach that is entirely in your hands. I get it. You know, it's difficult to be part of this rat race, to have to slog, you know, go through the daily grind, keep up with deadlines, deal with shitty bosses. Yeah, it sucks. But it's just everybody wants to succeed at the end of the day. Yeah. And that's not going to change.
I mean, I think it is changing a little bit. I think that was one of the best things about the pandemic is that it actually finally, you know, made people in leadership positions realize that if we aren't better, we can't expect anything better and people won't stay. You know, we saw, like, even though the pandemic was such a stressful situation and put so much financial strain on people, people were willingly quitting their jobs, right? And if it's, like, in a situation that bad, if people are still going to make a choice that extreme, yeah, something has to change. And luckily, yeah, it has, you know?
Agreed. I think the thing that's changed is the way people now approach employment and the workforce.
Correct.
And keeping, yeah, your employees happy. But the ultimate goal is, if you want to, I mean, to succeed, if you want to succeed, you're going to have to pull up your socks and start being better employers or being mindful of how burnt out your employees are getting. That's why mental wellness and psychological safety has become such a big topic of conversation and such a big thing for companies to take into consideration. Because without it, you're going to lose your workforce.
I was also, remember I brought up this interesting statistic like the last time we were talking about this podcast, which was that a lot of people, like 49% of Gen Zs, again from this survey, don't even consider work part of their identity.
Yeah.
Which is a huge shift, right? Like earlier, like we just were talking about, it was, you know, go to school, go to college, get a job, settle down. And work is was a big part. Like when I look at my life, work is a huge part of my identity. It is not my entire identity, which is something I've had to work on, but in therapy.
Who are you?
It's not the be all and end all of my life, but it's a huge part of my life. If I didn't have my work, I'd just be like, My dad actually gave me a very useful triangle. I think my parents come up a little too often in these podcasts, but he gave me a very useful triangle to keep in mind when it comes to work at all times. And it's 3 points, right? It's how much you're making, the people you're working with, and the work you're doing. And if at any point two of those three things is satisfied, then you're in a pretty good place. Yeah. And you can afford to, you know, weigh your options and stuff like that and stay there if you want to. But if at any point it's only one out of those three that is being satisfied, then you really need to figure it out. And I think it's a good way to analyze, right? Like, what are you doing? And where do you want to be? And those are the three things that we, because that is it. You either love the work you do. If you don't love it, you're in it for the money or the people that you're working with. If you hate the people you're working with, at least you're making good money and doing something you love. So that is all work brings to our life. I think it's interesting to see how people are really trying to make a go of it and make it the most ideal. And every generation does this. Every generation wants their generation to live in as ideal, as nice, as beautiful a world as it can be. But unfortunately, the world isn't cooperating right now. So you might as well make some money, live
take
a good
it on
life.
The chin.
Yeah. Pull your socks up.
That's a good triangle.
It's a good triangle.
Yeah. Well, from burnout to geometry, this has been a very
layered conversation, actually.
Layered conversation.
Who knew? We're like talking about work not being central to our identity, but like work is actually central to so many themes that we've just spoken about.
I do honestly love the fact that we're able to talk about work and burnout and things like that as a function of our current job.
I know.
So it's great to have that outlet.
Yeah, it's great to have the outlet. And also, you know, I guess we are lucky. You and I do what we really like to do.
Yeah.
Talk. Well, just a couple of chatterboxes here.
Yeah.
But okay, my last question for you. Is work your life? Give me percentages.
I would say work is 60% of my life.
The way I knew that was going to be it.
Yeah. What is it for you?
TBD. To be determined. It's a very big part of my life though, for sure. I think also because, you know, I love music. I love listening to conversations. We are creative people. It kind of just, the lines are not,
they're blurred.
Yeah, they're very blurred.
That is true, actually, from that perspective. But I will say I won't let it go beyond like 60. 70%.
Oh, okay. There's still a 10% threshold.
Up.
That's great to put out there, by the way. 70% is a lot, Neeta. Again, we don't have any solutions. You got to figure it out. But I think something I've taken away from this conversation is that there is some merit in tolerating work, maybe for the first part, because if you can make a good go of it and figure out what works and what doesn't for you, then you can probably make a pretty good go of, you know, work itself.
Ride it out.
We'll end with what Neerja's thing was.
Oh, what was the thing? Make your job work for you and don't work for your job.
Fuck yeah.
This has been a Conversations with Friends on the Podcaster. Powered by Timber Media.